Hey, we're going to Luke chapter 2. Book of Luke chapter 2. And let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our most kind and gracious Lord, we again come to you and thank you for all you do for us. I ask you to look down on us, Lord, all the worries and things that are in our hearts. Ask, Lord, that you would take care of all of them according to your will. All the prayer requests that may be on our hearts and things that were brought forward, Lord, we leave them with you. Lord, we know that you know what to do, and we thank you for that. Ask you now to open our hearts and minds to your word, and these things we pray in Christ's name, amen. Very familiar passage, chapter 1. I better get to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. Oh, Lord have mercy. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And the taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. Joseph also up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, days were accomplished that she should be delivered, and she brought forth her son, her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Think back on the past, maybe past few years, of all that your life has consisted of. Now, Jesus was born in a stable. He was placed in a manger. There's a lot of reasons why this took place. All the theologians that be out there, they've come up with all kind of reasons why he couldn't stay, why they couldn't find him a room. You know, they didn't do like we do now. We get reservations ahead of time, and we plan on staying in that place. Also, the motels or inns or whatever you want to call them at that time, they were just like this room here, just a big room, and everybody laid down and slept. Now, I don't know that 100%. I do know that's what history tells you about the inns they had. It was just a place you come in, you're safe, you're out of the weather, and you can lay your little mat down and your little blanket and you cover up and go to sleep. That wouldn't have been very good for Mary and Joseph. I mean, she's about to have a baby. Now, I kind of figure they might have had some separate areas. I don't know for a fact whether they did or not. I'm not going to say in either direction there, but So they got all of these ideas of why there was no room for them at the inn. But the main one really is mentioned in this passage that we just read. It isn't hard to see. It says because there was no room for them in the inn. In other words, there was no room. There was nowhere for them to be, whether it be an open room or a private room. There was nowhere. Now, why, let's change gears just a little bit. Why is our nation in the turmoil it's in? Why is our cities and towns falling apart? Why are churches teaching lies, watering down the word? Why are churches having one, maybe two services a week? Why are churches closing down? I'm going to tell you the answer to them because there's no room for Jesus. See, there wasn't any room for Jesus at the inn at that present time. It was Mary and Joseph, and Jesus was in the womb. Why was there no room for them? I mean, you would think the guy would have said, "Hey, hang on just a moment. Let me see what I can do." Looking at the situation. But there was no compassion in his mind, apparently. Apparently, there wasn't any compassion with the people that was in the inn, or they had to give up their spot. You ever had compassion on somebody and done something for them that on a regular day you wouldn't have, but maybe today it was like, You know, it just sometimes you see that. We were in Golden Corral here several weeks ago, and we're standing in line, and this little Chinese-looking woman, I'm not sure she was Oriental anyway, I'll just say that. And she bought her meal. I don't doubt she had the money. She's looking and she couldn't find the card, and I looked at the guy, I said, "I'll get it." I didn't have to do it. I could have just stood there and waited for her to go through all of her rummage stuff, and which I really honestly figure she had the money. But I just went ahead and paid it. It was just out of kindness, just out of compassion. They didn't have any compassion, apparently, at all. The innkeeper didn't. Nobody at the place did. You know, a lot of people say, "Well, it wouldn't be the same, the Christmas story, when we set up our manger and we got all these scenes and he's in a manger." Well, that's true. It wouldn't be the same. But when you ask yourself, why is there our nation in such problems, and our cities and towns and our churches that are out there watering down the Word of God and teaching whatever, and why do you go out of town sometimes and you can't find a church that's having a service that night? You know, how come there's churches that are actually closing down? And there's a little more to that one that I wrote down. But it's because there's no room for Jesus. None at all in their life. There is just no room for them. So we look at it and we're like, wow, that's our past few years. Now, why are churches closing down? I'm going to tell you why. Because families make up a church. But families didn't have room for the Lord. Their children, when they were growing up, they were doing everything else for them except for what they should have been doing. Now, I'll throw myself under the bus. There's lots of times I loaded up horses, got on all our cowboy garb and saddles and loaded them all up in the horse trailer, and we should have been in church. But we didn't. We went roping, or we went and let the girls bail race, whatever it might have been. Instead of what we should have been doing, they had room for all the worldly stuff, but not for Christ. Why are homes and families falling apart? Because there's no room for Christ. We got room for everything else, but we don't have room for Christ. You know, why is there no revivals anymore? Because there just ain't room for Christ. Why are churches full of strife and backbiting? Because there's no room for Christ. Now, I put this down. Folks, listen, we as believers and Christians need to clean out the closets of our hearts because they're full of stuff. That's everybody in this room. We've all got stuff in our closets. I got a closet at the house. You go down, you come in my front door, hang a left, and you go down, there's a closet on the left-hand side. If you open that, beware. Now, it's full of good stuff we use, right? It's blankets, but at 2 o'clock in the morning, you don't want to need a blanket and go to that door, because you may not go back to bed. You may stay there and pick stuff up, because it's full of stuff. You see, all of this stuff, it gets in the way of us serving the Lord. It gets in the way of our prayer life. Stuff, honestly, weakens our walk with Christ, because we got too much stuff going on. And we're all guilty of it. Stuff will, it'll take over your hearts, and it'll start pushing Jesus out. Kind of like that closet I got. You keep putting stuff in it, and now I'm going to blame it on me, because the way I put the blanket back in there is I fold it up, and I stuff and stuff and stuff, and then all of a sudden this starts moving out. And you're like, whoa, wait a minute. And, you know, but if you ain't careful when you stuff and stuff in the place where you put your stuff, other stuff starts coming out. And I think that's what happens to people, is they get to stuffing things up in there and it starts pushing Jesus out of the way. Now, this year, 2024, it's coming. It'll be here just a few days. Today is what, 27th? We got 28, 29, 30, 31, four. I can still count. We got 4 days left of 2023. And then, boom, 2024 will be here. We ought to clean out the closets of a lot of the stuff that don't need to be there and make more room for Jesus. That's what we ought to be doing. Now, wagon wheel, I'm going to brag, okay? Wagon wheel's not perfect. Amen. We're not. We have problems. But I'm going to be honest with you. I, as pastor here, have been very pleased at Christmas Eve to see so many faithful people that came to church. Because Christmas Eve, man, that's when everybody wants to go and they sit around the tree. They make all these Christmas Eve ideas of what they're going to do, and I get it. But there was people here, and I was impressed with that. So you might say, why preach a message like this? You know, it's like, well, we got all this stuff we got to get rid of. Well, I'm going to be honest with you, because I know what one day can do in our lives. I know what the devil can do with one day in our lives. He'd like nothing more than to just give you lots of stuff to do, especially for the coming year, especially for Super Bowl outreach. He would love nothing more than to see you not be able to deal with that. He'd like nothing more than to see you, well, we done changed the dates for our revival. He'd like nothing more than to see you not come for the revival. Because why do we not have revivals? No room for Jesus. There's room for everything else. We're talking Sunday morning, Sunday night, Monday night, and Tuesday night. That's a long revival. It's basically 3 nights. 4 messages. But you see, the devil would like to do nothing more than to affect your life, which in turn affects your children's life or your grandkids' lives. So it's a must that we need to give up the worldly stuff and make room for Christ. Is there anything wrong with some of the worldly stuff? No, there's not. There was nothing wrong with me rodeoing, my kids rodeoing. Personally, I think it gave them a pretty good foundation. Most of those guys are pretty moral. You can still go to the rodeo right now, even in Las Vegas, Nevada, when they did the NFR for 10 days. They pray before every event. You go to South Point, They had the team roping there. They have cutting that goes on where, anyway, I don't want to get into all that. Every one of them stop, and before the whole thing starts, they have a pledge of allegiance to the flag, by the way. They don't let them kneel, put a knee down. All those guys take their hats off. Now, they might have been out stone-faced drunk the night before, but they do have some morals. I'm not saying that's right either. And then they have prayer, and at the end of that prayer, by the way, they don't say, well, we thank you, Lord, amen. It's in Jesus Christ we ask these things. They still stand for what's right, even though they do got issues, so just like all the rest of us. There's nothing wrong with some of the worldly stuff that we get involved in. But it's what makes it wrong is when we start pushing Jesus out. Now, like I said, I'm going to say it again. We're going to end. I'm highly impressed through the holidays, especially Christmas Eve. You guys were at Wagon Wheel. That's impressive. Some people wasn't feeling good. They got kids. They're waiting on Santa. Maybe they're not, but it doesn't matter. There's presents about to happen. Boy, that's on their minds. But you were faithful and you're here. That's good. That says a lot for your stuff you got. That's all I got tonight. I'm going to say we'll be back on the 31st, which is Sunday. And then, hey, we won't see each other for a whole year. It'll be next year.